May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from John chapter 3. This is familiar. He's been having a conversation with Nicodemus about being born from above. He says in verse 11, truly, truly, that's kind of the New Testament version of McFly. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen. I like the we part in there, the Trinity. And you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you did not believe them, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Listen to this verse. And no one has ascended into heaven. No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. Now we know that Jesus ascended, and that was to come after the resurrection. But that's not what he says here. He uses this past tense. No one has ascended into heaven already, past tense, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. So Jesus is saying that in some way, even though he was on earth incarnational, clothed in our humanity, he lived an ascended life. There was a part of him that was seated in heavenly places. And that's why John the Baptist says about him in verse 31, the same chapter, he who comes from above is above all. He was not of the earth. He was of the earth, is from the earth, and speaks of the earth. But he who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, of that which he bears witness, no man receives his witness. He who has received his witness has set his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, and he gives the Spirit without measure. Such a remarkable set of scriptures that, you know, we hear this saying, I've heard this saying a lot growing up, that attitude determines altitude. So if a person will change their attitude, it'll change how they live their life, elevate their life. But the scripture says is altitude determines attitude. And there's a big difference. Now we know that in Christ we are seated in heavenly places with him. And so Jesus revealed to us, even in his incarnational life, what it was like as the Son of Man, as man, clothed in our humanity, to live an ascended life. And so in Christ now, we get to, in him, participate in that life. Though our feet are planted squarely on earth, we have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ is an ascended mind. And we get to see things from his perspective. We bear witness of heaven's report. We don't bear witness of earth's report. Now, how does that look practically? I mean, we can think of that in terms of like supernatural things. We can see a person who has this condition, but heaven's report is that God's bigger, or we see some circumstance going on, but heaven's report is God causes all things to work together for good. And the Lord has those kind of conversations with me all the time, that even though I'm seated in heavenly places with him, he's always wanting for me to embrace that elevated position, to make sure I'm operating from the mind of Christ, because altitude determines attitude. Now, I shared this a little bit Sunday, that when they brought that blind lady to me in Chihihi, the first thing I thought as they were coming, as many people as I've prayed for, still the enemy wants me to be bent towards me, wants me back under the law, counting. Jesus, God doesn't count our sins anymore, it says, but counting how spiritual I've been, how much I've prayed. Am I ready for this? And so I began to think, I'm not holy enough to pray. That's earth's report. Heaven's report is, Jesus said, I'm really excited about praying for this person, about healing this person. And I said, Lord, I feel so unspiritual. And he said, I don't. And therefore, it doesn't matter how you feel, because we're one. And in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. And so if you'll just open your mouth and trust me with this, I will, in your weakness, offer to the Father my perfect faith as if it were yours. That's the vicarious humanity of Christ. And suddenly, my attitude drew up to my altitude because I got to participate in his excitement and participate in the fact that he had faith for this. There were times I would say to the Lord, we had this wonderful conversation, who are two, yet we live as one, but we're two, and the immanence and the transcendence of the Lord in my life. And I would be like, Lord, I'm not sure what to do here. And he would go with this excited voice, but I do. And I go, you do? And he says, I do. Just watch. And join me. And elevated. So instead of being fretful and worrying, I'm now living by altitude that determines my attitude instead of the other way around. You ever notice that if a person has an attitude, it sort of brings everybody's altitude back down here? But you can't let that happen, right? It doesn't matter what anybody else is saying. No matter what kind of earth report, if things aren't going your way and you get mad because that's earth reports telling you that things aren't working out good because you're not getting your way in that moment. When Jesus appears like going, you're in me. You have the mind of Christ. And I'm really, really excited about how all this is going to work out just perfectly. Oh, I live by your faith. I live from the mind of Christ. This is the difference between living from Christ and living for Christ. Bearing witness of what heaven says. And so that's why he said, he who comes from above is above all. He who comes from the earth is of the earth, but he who comes from heaven is above all. Nothing threatens me on the earth level. No circumstances determine my reality. No situation, no person, no attitude, no decision somebody else is making. In the end, I'm in Christ, seated in the heavenly places, and everything about my life is supernatural. And everything about my life is filled with miraculous heavenly potential. So he who comes from above is above all. I'm not under that stuff. I can't allow that to govern the way I think. I'd much rather be governed by the way he thinks. And isn't this what it means to be filled with the Spirit? For the Holy Spirit to so fill you, to walk in the Spirit, that he's teaching your mind. He's controlling your will. He's controlling your emotions. He's governing your will in a process, transforming your behavior. And it says that Jesus, the one who was sent, a few verses later, that the Father gives the Spirit without measure. Well, I'm in Christ. And so that's my experience, that I have the Spirit without measure. This is what Bracken read. This is Jesus' perspective. John 17. These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son will glorify you. And even as you gave him authority over all mankind, that to all whom he has given him, he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may experience you, the only true God, and experience Jesus whom you sent. Then he goes on, he says, I glorified you, past tense, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished. Whoa, he hadn't even done the cross yet. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you gave me to do. And now I glorify you. Now glorify me together with you, that I may participate in the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. Then he goes on, he says, I manifested your name to the men that you gave me from the world. I glorified you. I did the work you gave me to accomplish. What was that work? Well, we know the cross is coming for the whole world. But he first said, I glorified you. And I fulfilled the work you gave me to accomplish by glorifying your name, your presence, and all of your character and your characteristics, your nature known to the men that you gave me from outside of the world. Wow. All those men must have been easy to get along with. For Jesus to have been that successful? No. He's talking about Judas too. I met Peter. They may deny you, but not me. I'll go to jail. I'll die. First time he's threatened, he starts cursing. No, I don't know him. Don't know him. He was the leader of the gang. At the cross, they all left except for John came back, but he left too. I mean, pretty ragtag group. And yet Jesus said, he accomplished the Father's work, glorified the Father. The first task was the people that God had given him out of his life, into his life. He, Jesus, manifested the presence, character, and nature of God because he lived an ascended life. You may say to me, well, I want God to use me to win the world. Have you won your family? I want to manifest Jesus to the world. I want to impact the world. Do you impact the people that you live with? Your roommate, your husband, your wife, your kids, the people you work with? That's how God thinks. You know, I tell the story that when I thought I knew how to walk in the Spirit, and then I got married. And I realized I did not know how to walk in the Spirit. So I had to seek the Lord and get breakthrough to know how to walk in the Spirit, to abide in Christ, to manifest him to someone who was different than me. And she never went home. She was like there all the time. It was not so bad. I got to drop her off at night. But now it was every moment of every day. And she was just different. I don't know what was wrong with her. And I was normal. And then we had Woody. We had kids. And I realized it wasn't that I didn't know how to walk in the Spirit. I was actually demon-possessed. So we had to fight through once again to discover how to live from the mind of Christ, the mindset of Christ. Have this attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's the only one we get to have. That's living from the mind of Christ. As you live from the mind of Christ and you live by the power of Christ. And your altitude's determining your attitude. Because you're seeing, you live from the mind of Christ, you're seeing everything from heaven's perspective. That was one of the real fun things in this trip. We'll talk for CTKers more about Sunday, that how the Lord kept almost audibly and almost like a 3D in reality, call me up. I don't know if the word call me up, I was already up, but offer me the opportunity to live from that place by revealing his attitude of every situation. It was stunning. That's union. That's the wonder of it all. I told the Lord last night, because God's doing such amazing things in the CEC. It began at our last house of bishops. The Lord poured out of the Spirit. And so we were just sitting around talking, and there's really nothing to talk about except happy things, really. I mean, we discussed some theological stuff, but just there's just good stuff. And I went to bed last night. I told them, Lord, I feel like I wasted their time because I'm supposed to sort of lead this at some level, and I didn't lead us into anything that was, I feel like I wasted their time. They'd come into Selma. It's not like you're on the way. David has to parachute out to get here. I said, I feel like I wasted my time. And Jesus speaks to me like in 3D. He says, you guys did the most important things a human being could do. He said, you spent time together and you enjoyed each other. I thought, wow, this God of love who created us to participate and share in all that he is and all that he has, his value, the most important thing a human being can do is spend time together and enjoy each other. That's the mind of Christ. It's so simple, this life that Jesus lives. He loves it. We get to share in it. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.